champion. He's famous for a couple of reasons. National champion debating for the University of Missouri at Kansas City, and also famous because he had the great good fortune to have Baby Joe as his debate partner. And, you know, Baby Joe is not forgotten and still with us in debate. And he has some negative strategies, some of which you would never tell me. So perhaps some of Baby Joe's secrets can be exposed today. Please welcome David Kingston.
Hey, I hope to keep everybody awake for the next 45 minutes. So, being negative, that's what we're going to talk about for the next 45 minutes. What's it all about? And I want to start with what I think is the hardest question to answer in debate. And that is, how do I win the debate round? So how is it? How do you win the debate round? Anybody got an answer to that question? Any given debate, you're negative. How do you win?
Prove that your plan is as competitive as the affirmative.
Prove that your plan is competitive as the affirmative, but what if you don't have a counter plan in that given round? How do you win a round? Yeah.
Weigh the position so that even if they saw that you impartially, you outweigh because you're competitive.
Okay, that's another possible way to win. What else? Just need to prove the affirmative plan is flawed. Anybody else?
Negate the resolution.
At some level, yeah, I guess. What else? Yes. Huh?
Be persuasive.
All of those things could win you a round, but all of those approaches are pretty limited, right? Each one of them specifies one thing that you have to do in order to win the debate round, and I don't think it's that easy. I don't think you can nail it down to one thing that you have to do to win a debate round. And so the negative strategies lecture is designed to help you, in any given situation, find ways to win a debate round when you're negative. It teaches you, we're going to learn what winning combinations of arguments are. We're going to learn how we can design a strategy so that we know exactly what's going to happen in the debate round before it happens. Spontaneity is very bad. The more knowledge you have about what is going to happen in the debate round before the debate round ever happens, the better off you're going to be. And so if we can teach you how to put those things together, then I guarantee the one thing that everybody in this room wants to do, win, will definitely go up, okay? The best way to think about negative strategies is to think about how you want the debate round to end before the debate round ever begins. You want to know, you should start with the 2 and R and work your way backwards. How did we get to this point in the 2 and R when I had won the debate round? Okay? Start at the end of the debate. If you know what the debate's going to look like at the end, you know what it should look like at the beginning. What do I mean by that? Well, in order for us to figure out what it looks like at the end, we need to know some things about how we can get to that end state where things win, which means we need to know what winning combinations of arguments are. So, in any given round, any combination of the following things can win you a debate round. Topicality, a critique, a counter plan, plus a disadvantage, a counter plan, plus a critique. What are other things that I have? Oh, a counter plan. I'm going to put this down in that box. Counter plan, plus case terms. Just case terms. Just this as, and sometimes just a counterpoint. Yeah.
Case terms.
Yeah. You've got to have something that's on that board, some combination of something's on that board if you're going to hope to win a debate round. Okay? More broadly than that, though, I think we can begin to think of these things in terms of broader categories so we have a better understanding of why it is that those combinations of things will win you debate rounds. Okay? Think about it this way. There are two ways to win any given debate round. You can win a given debate round procedurally. You can win it procedurally. You can win a topicality argument, right? Or you can win some sort of a theory argument, a counterplan, fiat is illegitimate, that, you know, any of those things. You can win a debate round that way. Those are all procedural knockouts, right? They violated the rules of the game and they should lose. You can win substantively. That's the second way you can win a debate round, substantively. That is generally what everybody was sort of trying to describe to me. You can prove that the disadvantages outweigh the advantages. And when I say disadvantages, I also include critiques. You can win a critique. You can win that it's not worth it to look at the world through the lens that the affirmative does. Right? Those are all substantive ways that you can win. And that includes all of this. Okay? So if you were to look at those types of arguments, then you could group them into substantive arguments that would allow me to win and procedural arguments that allow me to win. Okay? Why is it important to group things like that? Well, you'll find out a little bit later in the tips to putting those things together in a strategy, but remember that there are multiple groupings to these sets of arguments. The second way to look at these arguments is to look at them in terms of offense and defense. The first way to look at them is procedurally and substantively. The second way is to look at them in terms of offense and defense. Okay? Everything that exists on this board is offense. Is offensive in nature. Why is it offensive in nature? Because it's the negative, it gets you something in the debate. Okay? It gets you something in the debate. An argument is defensive if it merely minimizes something that the other team could get in the debate. In other words, takeouts to advantages are defensive. Right? Inherency attacks are defensive. Disads are offensive. Case turns are offensive. Okay? Everything on that board is offensive. But there are things that you run in debate rounds that aren't on that board. I didn't put case takeouts on that board. You know? I didn't put other things. Although you can throw those in. Those are all defensive in nature. Defensive arguments cannot win you a debate round. Defensive arguments cannot win you a debate round. Somewhere, I learned to debate a long time ago, and somewhere it seems between the time that I learned how to debate and now, they changed how you can win a debate round. When I first learned how to debate, if I won solvency, if I won a good solvency argument, I could win the debate round, right? But that can't happen because a solvency takeout is a defensive argument, right? And defensive arguments can't win you debate rounds. You have to have a solvency takeout combined with some offense, a solvency turn or a disadvantage to win a debate round, right? It no longer suffices to win one of the stock issues. The stock issues, out the window. They don't win debate rounds anymore. Okay? You have to have offense combined with defense, and you have to have some combination of offense that exists up on this board. I want to go through the instances in which each of these things wins you a debate round, or how it is that you would know that this is a combination that you should go for. Everybody understands that topicality wins in a debate round, right? It's a procedural voting issue. If you win, but they're not a part of the resolution, they should lose. I think everybody should be on top of that. Critiques can win you debate rounds in a lot of ways, but I generally say that the way that a critique wins you the debate round is through its implications. Usually a critique is billed as 100% solvency takeout and a case turn. So a critique is offensive in the same way that a case term is offensive. If you go for topicality, do you need to go for anything else to win a debate round?
No.
Should you? No. If you're going to win topicality, you're going to win topicality, and it should be over. So in the 2NR, if you're going to go for topicality, that's what you should go for. These are all 2NR strategies for winning a debate round, and all you need to go for is a 2NR. If you win the critique, do you need to win anything else to win the debate round? Generally speaking, not. Sometimes, maybe. It depends on what the type of critique is, but there are instances where you can go for just the critique. If you could go for just the critique and have it win you the debate round, do you need to go for anything else? No. Another sound negative strategy by itself. Counterplan plus the disadvantage. You've probably been talked to death about this in the counterplan lecture. You can go for a counterplan plus a net benefit, right? Why is that a strategically wise thing to do? Because the counterplan can make part of the case irrelevant, and the disad is a little bit of offense. That's something you can go for. The counterplan plus the critique. Sometimes the net benefit to your counterplan can be a critique. Okay? Counterplan plus case terms, same thing. Counterplan plus another type of a net benefit. You notice that all three of these are a counterplan plus some kind of substantive offense. It has to be offense. Never does a counterplan and solvency takeouts win you a debate round. Never does counterplans and a solvency takeout win you a debate round. It doesn't. Okay? So you have to have a counterplan plus some offense. Sometimes just offense is enough to win a debate round. Okay? Case terms, just offense. If they turn the entirety of the case, not part of the case, not 75% of the case, if they turn all of the case, you have a good shot at winning. Okay? A disad. A disad that outweighs the case. Not a disad that's the same size as the case, not a disad that's smaller than the case. A disad that outweighs the case by itself could be enough for you to win a debate round. Okay? Rare. A counterplan alone, the most rarest of all negative winning strategies is the counterplan alone. In order for a counterplan alone to win, it has to meet two conditions. It has to be truly mutually exclusive, meaning that you cannot do the plan and the counterplan at the same time. Physically cannot, and the advantage to the counterplan has to be bigger than the advantage to the case. Does everybody understand how that works with the true opportunity cost? You can't do them both. One prevents the other from occurring. One has a bigger advantage than the other. That is the rarest ever. In fact, that is so rare that I'm almost tempted to cross it out and say you should just always go for a counterplan and a disadvantage. Okay. We're talking about negative strategies, and I have yet to talk about any speech other than the 2NR. Right? Because we want to know what the round should look like at the end before I ever begin what's going to happen. Okay? I know that the round, in order for me to win on the negative, has to look like one of these instances in order for me to win. Now, I can throw in defense with those things to win, right? Like, I could go for the counterplan, the disad, and the case turns, and the case takeouts, right? But, usually, I won't need to do that if I'm with the counterplan and the disadvantage. I'm assuming that your counterplan is a good counterplan. I'm assuming that your disad is a good disad. If you're going for a crappy counterplan and a crappy disad, you're not going to win. It's not the combination of the others. This is a potentially winning combination, okay? So, I now know what I want the 2NR to look like. Well, so how do I work back from that to making the 1NC something that I can win the debate round with? Well, I have 7 ways you can put these things together in order to have effective an effective negative strategy. Okay? And these are tips in ways to put these things together. Okay? I'm not about to just list off, well, the 1NC should include D, D,
the DA, counterclass, and gate terms.
The first concept that you need to understand when putting together a good negative strategy for the one entity is consistency. Consistency. All of your arguments should interplay with one another in a manner that is consistent with the other arguments in the debate round. A good negative strategy doesn't have a counterplan that goes the other way with the cards that you're going to read on the case. It doesn't read a critique that links to the counterplan. It doesn't read a disadvantage that links to the counterplan. It doesn't read inherency and dis-ad. It doesn't put together case. It doesn't link turn and solvency. You don't impact turn and solvency turn the case. Don't do that either. Right? Good negative strategies have consistent positions. In other words, you don't say you increase Clinton's credibility and you decrease Clinton's credibility in the same speech. Okay? That may seem very basic, but you are dead in the water if you begin with a 1NC that double turns itself or that contradicts itself in subtle ways. Right? Dead in the water. Because affirmative find holes in negative strategies like no tomorrow. You remember that when you're negative against the case, your negative against that case may be 1 every 4, 1 every 5, maybe 1 every 6 debates, depending on how many people you debate in your area. But on average, on the national circuit, 1 every 5, 1 every 6 debates is about how often you're negative against the case. That team is affirmative with that case every other round. Right? They've heard your negative strategy before. They know. They spent time researching this affirmative. They know what the negative arguments are, right? So if you're going to, you're already at a deficit walking into the round. If you're going to contradict yourself, you might as well not show up to the round. Okay? Think ahead of time. Make sure everything's consistent. All right? Second thing is, my second tip is, you need to recognize why inherency sucks as an argument. Hence, it should be your strategy of last resort. Last resort. Let's define last resort. In no instance, except when you have absolutely nothing else to say at all whatsoever, you're going to stand up and say nothing during your speech time. Just before that point is when you run inherently. Not any second before. Okay? Why does inherency stink? Well, first of all, it's defense, not offense. And defense, it doesn't win you a debate round. And it's not just, you know, innocuous defense like a case takeout that could actually do you some good. It's defense that eliminates other offense that you could have. Disads, right? Those are offense. Disads appear in lots of combinations of things that are in my 2NR board that tell me that I can use to win a debate round. If I say inherency, all of those arguments kind of go away. It's really hard to win a disad when I've said that your plan's already tried to be done in the status quo, right? Kind of proves all my disads are empirically denied, right? So, yeah, inherency sucks. It should appear in the 1NC as nothing but a last resort. Okay. Number 3. I have to have flavor, flavor, flavor in the 1NC. What does that mean? It means that like most things in life, more flavors are better than one. Which means, don't repeat yourself. Don't ever repeat yourself in the 1NC. If you read one card that says there's no starvation in Cuba, don't read a second one. If you've already said 1T argument, you shouldn't say more than 1T argument because it's the same type of argument. Include a critique instead. The ideal 1NC includes one of each type of the argument. The topicality, a critique, a counterplan, a disad, case turns, and case takeouts. One of every type of argument. In a manner that is entirely consistent with one another. Think about the beauty of that strategy. If all of your offense, your dis-ads, and you can have multiple different types of dis-ads, that's why multiple types of dis-ads are good too, don't run, you wouldn't run two Clinton dis-ads, right? Why would you run two of the same type of a dis-ad? Like international modeling dis-ads, you should never run two of those. Don't run two dis-ads that have an impact on the economy. Don't run two dis-ads with the same impact. That's not smart either, because the affirmative can group them and answer them together, right? So more flavors, more arguments, more different types of arguments. The more different types of arguments that you have in the 1NC, the harder it is for the 2AC to predict what it is that you're going to, what your end of the debate round looks like, right? The more things you say in the 1NC, the harder it is for the affirmative to get a good grasp on what it is that you're trying to make the end of the debate round look like. And the longer you can keep the affirmative in the dark about how you want all this to end, the much better your chances of winning are. Much better your chances.